Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Cho, and welcome again to Revival Today. I have another message for you, Understanding the Cost. I pray that you enjoy.
I want to encourage the body and the people of God that can't get healed this morning because of the restrictions. We want to let you know right now that God is in the midst of your household right now, because the Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a promise that God has made. So it's important that you understand, and that I understand, that he made a promise that he's not going to leave nor forsake us. How many of you believe that he's not going to leave or forsake you? If you can, just tap on your phone and give me some love right now. Hallelujah. How many believe that he will not leave you? Hallelujah. I have a word for you this morning. And I praise God, because the word that God has given me this morning is a sound word. This word is all about understanding the cost. So I'm going to ask everyone that's watching right now, bow your heads and begin to pray. Because I believe that God is going to break some yokes this morning, some strongholds that's in your life this morning. I know you can't be here this morning, but these strongholds got to let you go, because the debt has already been paid. As we are experiencing Easter like one we've never seen before in our lifetime, with many of the churches closed in quarantine, orders are in place, we're glad you want to focus your heart on the hope we have in Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that you woke up this morning and you still recognize that you need to reverence God. Today I want to speak about understanding the cost that was paid at the cross. One of the challenges we have with the scriptures and with the word of God, a lot of us don't understand the cost of the cross. And one of the things is that Jesus died. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But this morning I want to talk to you about some other things. There was a debt that Jesus paid, and there was a cost that had to be paid in order for us to be free from sin and death. Now, that's the code word, sin and death. The code word is sin and death. There was a price that had to be paid, because the Bible says man born of a woman has but a few days. So I have a scripture to back this up. If you turn with me to Job 14, 1 and 2, it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. So the Bible says that a man that is born of a woman has but a few days. And I'm going to talk about the debt that Jesus paid, because guess what he did? Do you understand that in society, so many people are trying to come back from the dead? If you remember history, Houdini said that he was going to try to give a sign that he was able to return from the dead. But Jesus was the only one that was able to go in and conquer death. Now, I need to give this understanding, because when the scripture says that man that is born of a woman has but a few days, and the Bible says it's full of trouble. So some of us are living our life and we're experiencing trouble, and we act as if this is our only journey. And so when the scripture says that Jesus came to pay a price, he came to pay a price, but not just a price, he paying a debt. And the debt was that he was able to redeem man and bring us from the dead back to restoration, immortality. So bear with me. I got some backup scriptures first to let you know. In John 11, 25, 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I want to bring these points out. The Bible says that he's a resurrection and life. So when we're celebrating Easter, it's not about all this other stuff and the commercial stuff, but it's about the resurrection and then back to life. So Jesus said here, I am resurrection and life. Whosoever believeth in me, though he die. Now, I need you to understand, though we die, he says, what yet shall he live? And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I'm going somewhere with the scripture because some of us are trying to get everything we can right now here on earth and don't realize that God is saying, I'm not only going to give you life right now more abundantly, but I said, I'm going to also take care of death for you. I'm going to go to the grave and purchase the price so that now when you go and you leave this body, guess what? Your soul will be with Christ. Now, we have to get this in our spirit because we need to see that. Look at now. I know it's a resurrection service message, and so many people want to get a word from God this morning, but I can't tell you about the flowers of the field. I can't tell you about the spring sunny day right now. I got to tell you about the cross and the conviction and the debt that was paid because somebody is on their deathbed right now, and only God can bring them through. I need you to know that this is a day that God has made. So he said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And know that whatever you're going through, God is not through with you because he is not done yet. Because he has more for you. So Jesus said, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believeth in me, though they die. Now I need you to understand, it says, though you die, yet you shall live. Now, this is important because a lot of us feel like we're just going to get to the rapture. But when I was a child, when I was only about 12 years old, I remember I said to my friend, I said, listen, maybe we shouldn't go to college. Maybe we shouldn't do this and that. We're just going to get ready for the rapture. Now I'm 54 years old, and I'm still waiting. But I need you to understand, even though he hasn't come right now, he still is going to show up when he said he shall. He said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. So what is all this about? This is all about preparation because we have to understand that life is but a few days. That means we have to map out our life right now. Some of us are mapping out our life for success in this life. But I need you to know that it's important to map out your life for success also after this life so that your soul may be with Christ. So I got some scriptures for you because I know you're going to enjoy this. Now, I'm going to tell you something, a little bit about a certain bug. I want you to know there's a bug called the mayfly. And this bug that's called the mayfly only lives one day. That's the bug's lifespan. It only gets to live one day. Now, guess what? If you research on this bug, it says that the lifespan is one day, but most of them only live between 2 and 4 hours. Everyone has a season and a time. And see, so when we're talking about the cross, everyone, I need you to understand that your life that you're living right now, that you're acting like you have all kind of time to make decisions, all kind of times to figure out what you want to do, we don't know because tomorrow's not promised for us. So now this is where the debt and the cross comes all together. Because Jesus said, I come that you may have life. He wants you to have life now. But he said, I also paid the debt of the grave. So I need to get us to understand that it's no time to be afraid. It's no time to worry about what's going on in this life. Because even though you go through pain right now, even though your bills aren't getting paid right now, God said, I'm going to pay the debt because I've already said, I'll take care of your needs. So like this mayfly, this fly only has one day to live. One day, that's his lifespan. So now, if that's his lifespan, guess what? It doesn't know about 2 days. It doesn't know how to get to 3 days. Man today is trying to outlive our lifespan. But I need you to know what we need to figure out, how to be in the blessed, in the bosom of God, so that when you no longer have any days, you're with the Lord. Now, I know this is a message about the cross and everything, but too many times we commercialize this day. Now this day is no longer about really understanding the debt. It's about just celebrating. But I need to bring you to this place called paying a debt. I know some of us have experienced, how many of you experienced that when you have to pay rent, they come a knocking. When you have to pay your debt, they come a calling. When you have to do and pay the bills to make it from day to day, they do not buy your excuse. So why do we think that God is going to buy our excuse? So if you turn with me to Romans 5, it says just, 5:21, excuse me. It says, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it's saying here, it is a lot talking about death, and that's where I'm going with this word. The next scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. And I'm going to show you this, because this is where Jesus is kind of teasing death. What he says in the scripture, he says, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gave us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I read this scripture because I'm going to go to a story today talking about a rich man and Lazarus. And this story is telling you all about why Jesus really came and died on the cross, because I believe a lot of people don't know. So this scripture that I just read, when it says, oh, death, where's your sting? This is Jesus. He's going to the grave. Remember, a lot of people said they were going to come back. But Jesus was the only one that took the cross. The world seen him. The world seen that he was crucified. And then he still rose again, because it was prophesied that only the Son of God will be able to rise again. So it's not Houdini. It's not those that say, I know how to go into the psychic world. No, it's only when you have the keys of salvation, you're going to be able to rise again, even from this mortal body. And so because of this, we must be aware. So when it says, oh, sting, oh, death, where is your sting? Excuse me. And the next part, it says, for sin is the sting that results in death. I want you to turn with me to the next scripture that says, 2 Timothy 1:10. It says, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death. You see that word, who abolished death. He was able to defeat death. Now, I'm going to break this word down this morning, because I need us to understand that Jesus abolished death. Now, some of us said, no, we die. Don't you know, like the mayfly, it has a lifespan. We don't know the day nor the hour. But when he said, I paid a price for you, he literally went and took care of the debt for death. So he's telling you that when this body, when this flesh and blood, this body passed to go away, only has a few days, the scripture says. So when this goes away, how many of you been storing your treasures here on earth rather than in heaven? How many of you have said that I have more than today to go by? I have another year to get right with Christ. How many of you said, I'm going to do it tomorrow? Tomorrow I'm going to get serious about the word of God. No, you don't know when your day shall come. So it says, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life, immortality, and light through the gospel. So now this is where I'm going with the word, is through the gospel he brought life. And if you go into the scripture, everywhere Jesus went, he was talking about being restored, being redeemed, having mercy and grace. Too many churches right now get you stored up on mercy and grace. Oh, he giving me mercy. Oh, I got plenty of grace. He's always there for me. He's going to always cover my debt. But I need you to know that he already paid the debt, and he already explained what it takes to get into the kingdom of heaven. And instead, what we want to do is play some games. So this is the story I have for you. It's talking about the poor man and the rich man called Lazarus. And if you can, I want you to turn with me to Luke 16 chapter 19 and 31. Now, a lot of times when Jesus shared the word, he talked in parables. He would talk in parables because he wanted to get a message out so that everyone would understand. But Jesus made it simple because of the cross. He wanted people to understand the debt that was paid. He wanted to get people to understand that. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I came for you, but you have to do this. You have to repent. So it says here, we're going to talk about the rich man and the poor man. There's a little scripture, and this is not a parable, and I want to let you know why it's not a parable. Most parables, when Jesus shared scriptures in parables, he never used names. So in this particular scripture, when he talks about this, that means he's actually telling you this happened. He mentions a rich man, but next he says, then also a poor man named Lazarus. All right? So I'm going somewhere. It says, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted every day, sumptuously. It's funny how he said that. I said, what's sumptuously? That means it tastes good. So usually when you're rich, that's why they were clothed in purple. So that's why when Jesus was on the cross, they gave him a robe that was purple. So right here it said the rich man was wearing fine linen. So he was in his good stuff. Look at me. Am I in my good stuff? If I'm in my good stuff, go ahead and give me a couple taps. So the rich man was in his wealth and he was in his good stuff. And then it says in the 20th verse, it says, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. So the Bible says that this rich man, when he would eat, a poor man would show up and he would try to get the crumbs from his table. This is how it was. This man was so desperate that he just wanted the rich man's crumbs. I believe that some of us want the rich people's crumbs because we feel that it's about what we have now, not know that it's about what we shall have. I'm not against having wealth and having riches, but I need to put things in perspective this morning because this is about the cross. So it says, let me make sure I didn't move. So the scripture says that the rich man was eating at his table and the poor man would show up every day and he wanted to have the crumbs of the rich man. So the next scripture says the poor man died and was carried by the angels of Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades. Being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham's far off. And the Bible says that they both had died. So the rich man died and the poor man died. And now the rich man sees that the poor man is by the side of Abraham. So this is what happened. And then the rich man, he died and he was buried and he was in Hades. Hades is considered a place of torment. So this is what happened. It says in Hades, and he was in torment. He lifted his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his fingers in what water and cool my tongue, for I am anguished in this flame. So right here is where he began to say, the rich man began to say, I am hurting where I'm at. I'm in a place called torment. And when I look, I can see a cross. And I can see that this poor man that had nothing is in the bosom of Abraham. Now, I need you to understand, because we're all talking about the cross. Everyone's celebrating the cross today. Everybody's wearing their good suits, trying to show out. You don't want to look good. Oh, yeah, we got our good suits. But this doesn't matter on this day. Today is all about the debt that was paid. So the rich man, he was having a feast, and he was living off the hog. He was having a nice time. How many of us today see people that they're riding around in the Mercedes, they're living well, and you're envious of them? So right now in the scripture, it is saying that the rich man envied no one. But when they died, the rich man found himself in torment, and the man that was suffering here and now found himself in the bosom of Abraham. He lifted his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus. So the next part, he said, "Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in wet water and cool my tongue." So he was so hot. He was so tormented. He said, "I just want you to send Lazarus over to me and just give me a dip of water." This is how desperate the rich man was now. Now, when you look at the scripture, think about it. The poor man was desperate in this life. He was so desperate that he would show up every day and try to get the crumbs from the table of the rich man. That's how desperate he was. And this is why I'm going somewhere about the cross. Because guess what? Sometimes in this life, you're in torment. Sometimes in this life, it seems like God has forsaken you. But I need you to know that God did not promise you life just here and now. But he said, "I'm going to give you life even after this body has passed on." So that's about the debt that Jesus paid on the cross. The debt was all about paying off debt. Turn to somebody and say, "He paid off my debt. He paid off my debt to death." Now, that's amazing, because only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can come in this natural body and then live again, even though the enemy thought he had him, like some of us. The enemy thinks he has us because we're in the corner. Some of us are on our bed sick. Some of us are struggling in our lives, and we think that the devil is winning. But I want you to know that God has sent his Son so that the debt would be paid. So in the scripture, it shows that Lazarus could not go over and dip his finger. Check this out. Now, in the next scripture, this is where it all comes together. I like this, because this is showing you some things about life and death. This is in scripture. I know a lot of churches aren't preaching this because it's not a good thing to preach. We want to talk about the cross and get away from it real quick. We want to go to mercy and grace real quick. But I want to talk to everyone that's watching this. I need you to understand, we have to plan. Some of us don't plan for where shall we be after. And a lot of times we want to live life as if it's a fairy tale. But if you truly want to manage your life, you can't just manage your finance. You have to manage your soul. That's why the word says that all men must work out their own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Right now, people don't come into church with fear anymore, because what happens is we dumbed it down, because now it's all about what you have and how you look and how prosperous you are. The prophets are preaching about how you can get a car. The prophets are preaching about the money in your bank. But when John the Baptist came, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," because it's a time to be ready for when he comes back. And like I said in my story, when I was a young kid, I thought he was coming when I was 12. I'm 54. He ain't here yet. So that means you have to plan your full life out. That means you have to plan what's going to happen on your deathbed. I know we don't want to talk about it. Even with this coronavirus here, we know that God is able to give you deliverance in every situation. But what is going on with your life planning? So in the 15th verse, it says, "But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things.'" You see this in the scripture. It says, "Child, remember in your lifetime you received good things." How many of you out there right now feel like you haven't received good things? You're going through a lot. This poor man, he was sick. He was sore. There's people in the hospital right now that might be tuning in. I want you to know that God has not forsaken you. He'd already paid the other debt. So now guess what? Even if you don't make it in this life, you will be with your Father. So it says right here. So it says, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things. In Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted here. And you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. Now, what this is saying is that a chasm is basically like a valley or a ditch, an embankment. So right here, Abraham said to the rich man that you had it nice while you were living in this life. But Lazarus, in like manner, he only experienced bad things. But he said, but now he is in comfort. I need you to know that God is trying to put us in comfort. He has paid a price for each and every one of us. And we celebrate the cross all the time. But we don't understand the torment that we're going to put ourselves in when we don't say yes to the cross. The torment that you're going to be in when you take salvation as if it's a religion. Jesus didn't come preaching about being Catholic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, all these other denominations. I had someone say, well, I'm not in a denomination because we're better now because we're not all structured. I need you to know if you don't go through the cross, you won't get to righteousness. It's not about where you're at. It's about who you know. Do you know Jesus? He paid a debt. So right here it says here, now I want to go to the next part because I need to get people to see this because this is important. And besides, it says here, so there's a fix. There's a chasm before them so that none can pass or cross over. So many people want you to believe that. This is why a lot of people don't understand. When they come to church and there's a funeral, people have passed away. They want a priest. You know why they want a priest? Because we used to believe that the priest could help them cross over. So the Bible says, Jesus said that, let the dead bury the dead. So it's not the pastor's job to be burying people. It's the pastor's job to win your soul so that when you go, you're in the hands of God. So I'm daring all of us that are pastors to get serious so that we can truly mend the hearts of those that are broken and teach them how to get in the place where God wants them so that they can live well now and also later. But if you're in a place called torment here and now, still do the things that God is requiring of you because he's with you, because he paid a debt for you. So right here, Abraham made it clear that there's a chasm between them and that you can't cross over. I wanted to make sure we understood this. So now in the next scripture, this is what the rich man began to do now. And this is where I want to get ready in my message. Some of us think we have tomorrow to fix our problems. We think that we can make it right later. Oh, we can dip in sin now and get away with it later. It says here, then I beg you, Father, to send to him my father's house. So he's saying, I want you to send him to my father's house and tell him something. Here's what it says. For I have five brothers so that he may warn them lest they shall also be in this place of torment. So the rich man began to say to Abraham, he says, I want you to go tell my brothers, my five brothers, of this place of torment. How many of you have stopped ministering to your family members because they don't want to hear you? So this is what it says here. It says, for I have five brothers so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But this is what Abraham said. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. See, so he wanted him to bring someone from the grave. Now, I need you to get this. Check this out. Guess who came from the grave? Jesus. Jesus came from the grave, and guess what? But in the scripture, guess what? Here, Abraham says, they won't repent. Here it goes. It says, they have Moses, the prophet. Let them hear them. Just like right now, we have those that are preaching the gospel, ministering the word. We just want something great spoken to us to make us feel good. But I need you to know, the real word that Christ came to deliver was repent and get back close to the Father. Don't sell out for the things that we have in this life. Sell out to the things that God has already promised. Sell out for being righteous. Sell out for trying your best. Sell out to do the things that God required of you. No, we can't continue to bring out the mercy card. Some of us want to go off of mercy all the time. Oh, he's giving me mercy. He's going to give me mercy. Here it is. He's going to give me grace. Here it is. At the time of the grave, he could not get or receive mercy anymore. And this is where it's going to go with this. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. You see that? He said, they will repent then. But check out what Abraham said. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. That's some of us today. Some of us don't want to hear it. So I want us to understand with this word, the lifespan that we have, we must understand that Jesus paid a debt for after. The cross that we're experiencing right now today, and everyone is talking about the cross and Jesus on the cross, but guess what? It was all about the death. This cross was always all about preparing you for after. It's all about preparing you for after. Jesus paid the ransom. How many of you ever seen a show where someone was taken for ransom? You, in your living room, there's a debt that was paid for you right now. I know you're sick. I know you're hurt. I know you're financially struggling, but Jesus has paid the debt. It's Jesus that paid the debt. And guess what? Every knee, every tongue shall bow unto the Lord. So I know people are worshiping the president. I know people are worshiping kings. But right now is the day to worship Jesus, because Jesus paid the price for you and I. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He gave his only begotten son that we may live and not die. So I need you to understand that today you might be in your fine linen right now. You might be in your fine clothes right now. But one day you got a price to pay. And guess what? He don't care about these fine linens. He don't care about your beautiful tie. He cares about your soul being right. So the price that he paid is all about this. The price that he paid is all about this. He's saying, I said, I'm going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But guess what? I'm going to go where death is at, where the devil has already conquered us. And he said, I'm going to go to the grave and I'm going to unlock the key to death. And then I'm going to give you life here and after. So get ready to praise him, church, because God has done something great in your life. The devil wants you to be foolish. The devil wants you to think that you got to get it here and now. But guess what? You got to get it here, and then also you can get it there, because God is greater. God has the keys to life and death. So like that fly, it only knew that it had one day to live. But guess what? That one day was a lifespan for that fly. Some of us, we think, the Bible says if a man lives to be 73 years old, he's lived a full life. But guess what? I want you to know, tomorrow's not promised. So the debt that Jesus paid, it's not about the show. It's not about the Easter place. It's not about the cross demonstration. It's about the keys. So Jesus is giving you keys. And it's up to you to unlock the door. He's already given you the keys to this house. He's already given you the key. How many of you want a house? Right now, this body is your house right now. But guess what? Your soul needs a place to go. And guess what? Jesus died so that we now shall live. Somebody that can praise God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says here that we praise him sometimes when things are going well. Even sometimes it's hard to convince our friends and family members to live right. But I want you to know that Jesus proved that he could conquer death. Jesus proved that he could conquer death. Houdini did not prove that he could conquer death. I need you to know that whoever you trust in can't take care of life after this life. But like the poor man that was struggling every day, some of us are struggling. Some of us are struggling. We keep on crying, Lord, where's my deliverance? He said it's already been paid. The price has been paid. Your deliverance has already been paid. All you have to do is look up and live by faith and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust that your word is true. I'm going to trust that even though I may leave this mortal body, I know I'm going to be with you. This is supposed to be the most powerful message in the lives of people. And guess what? We look at the cross and we see that man on the cross. But guess what? That's not the man on the cross no more. He's God alone. He's God alone. That means he's over all things. So I dare you in your living room. I dare you in your bedroom. I dare you with your family, those that are in a hospital. I dare you to look up and live by faith. I dare you to just repent. And that's what I mean by repent. I know so many people don't want to have that message. Repent. Don't live like you have tomorrow. Don't live like you can act any old way. Just say to yourself in your flesh, I know the wages of sin is death, but the gift that God has for me is life. And when you get that in your spirit, you begin to cry out to God. You're going to receive a mighty anointing right now in your living room. So I want to wish you Jesus today. I want to wish you happiness. But most of all, I got to wish you salvation. And today is a day that he has made.
Praise God, praise God. I pray that you enjoyed the message you heard today. Again, I'm Pastor Mark Cho. We're located at 1850 Elm Street in Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. Check us out when you're in the area. Listen, God is doing mighty things. And also, if you want to be a blessing to this ministry, please send a check or money order to us at 1850 Elm Street, or you can go online at our website, that is houseofpraisenep.org. Again, houseofpraisenep.org. We're doing something mighty up north in New Hampshire. Come check us out. Bless you. That I love.